Would you please open your Bible and the book of Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. Chapter 5 of the book of Romans. 1 to 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his own blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. May the reading of God's word prepare our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, open now our hearts that we might see the wondrous truth out of thy law. And humble us, O Lord, before thee, that it will accomplish that which you have prepared for each one of us. May we be made willing to be conformable to your will in teaching us, O Lord, that thy word requires each one of us. May you continue to be exalted and to continue to exhort us in the right way to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, read this book was written by Paul in AD 57. This may not be exact, but that is more or less what other commentator says. Romans outlines what Christians believe and explain the great doctrine, that is, the justification by faith. Justification is such a treasure in the mind of the apostle that it now outlines three basic blessings that flow from it. First, in verse 1, God is at peace with us because his justice has been satisfied. Is satisfied because the wrath of God against our sin has been absorbed alone by our Lord Jesus Christ in his body on the cross of Calvary. He holds nothing against us. And secondly, in verse 1 also, not only do we have a relationship with an absence, of anger or the wrath of God, we have access to a gracious relationship. An unconditional, undeserved relationship without prerequisites from God's point of view. As you can see, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And thirdly, still in verse 2, we have the certain expectation that in the future, we will share in the glory of God. We can see that also in chapter 8, verse 18. But we not only rejoice in hope, but we also rejoice in suffering, or tribulation. Why do we have to rejoice in our tribulations or suffering? Because suffering leads to perseverance. And perseverance leads us to build up character. And perseverance in the face of opposition or tribulations, which shows the authenticity of our experience. And when we are suffering and we still persevere, that's a great testimony in itself, because our character is being strengthened. I don't know about you, neither you don't know about me, but the effect of suffering causes a Christian to persevere and not grumble or groan about the suffering. It is authentic because it shows in our very character. Such an experience leads us to a freshening or a new yearning for the fulfillment of our hope, which is in verse 4. And perseverance, character, and character builds up our hope. So when we persevere, there's a rejoicing because there's our hope is becoming more and more to be yearned in our heart. It longs to see more God's glory. We are therefore told of the immediate outcome of righteousness by faith in the personal experiences of the believer. And it is shown that both present experiences and future hopes are all based upon the perfect provision in Christ Jesus our Lord, our righteousness. And the results here stated are the saving, the gladdening rather than the sanctifying effect of justification. It is the saving and the gladdening effect that is being shown here in this chapter. One word occurs three times in this section, and that is the word rejoice or glory or joy, which literally means to boast, to glory. To glory means to boast, which is in verse 2, verse 3, and verse 11. Through whom we have also access by faith in this grace in which we stand, and rejoice, that's the word there. And then in verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That means boast. Glory means to boast. And in verse 11, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation, having made peace with God. And it is this word, rejoice and glory, is the key to the entire chapter of chapter 5. But as we study the passage continuously on your own and perhaps together in the past, there are altogether four such reasons for feeling assured that righteousness will continue without any disturbance or unimpaired to the very end of our earthly existence, but will continue to move on in our glorious state in the presence of the triune God, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the first of those four reasons for feeling assured of that righteousness in Christ, first is the present experience assure our hope. Our present experience assure our hope. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is assurance. We have peace with God. And verse 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope. We have this assurance because we rejoice, we can rejoice. This is the difference of unbeliever and the believer. The unbeliever are happy, but they don't have joy. Happiness is just a temporary thing, but joy is something permanent. It bubbles up. It continues to flow and overflow because it is a gift to us from the Holy Spirit. So, the word justified by faith, to put it simply, is God's gracious act of proclaiming any sinner righteous before his presence through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the end, which many fail to. Not only we are justified by Christ, by grace through faith, but God puts it into our account, puts righteousness into our account. So therefore, we are different people. Other unbelievers, they don't have righteousness. They can treat their righteousness, which is good works, which is Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. You see, that's an emphasis. It's not of our own works. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So being justified by faith means being pardoned, acquitted, set free, and regarded as righteous in Christ. Those are very important words. Means you have been pardoned, we have been acquitted, and regarded as righteous in Christ, because the righteousness of Christ has been put into our account. That's like when you put money into your account, there is money to depend upon. You see? You can always feel secure when you have something there to pay your debt or to meet your emergency needs. But the grace of God, the righteousness of Christ, is not just momentary when we want to be made righteous. It is forever. That's why the judgment to come should not fear us, but it should actually give us the willingness to respond to the various dangers that the Holy Spirit in us show us. Just like when that woman was caught in adultery. You know, all the Pharisees and the scribes presented her to our Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus challenges all these people. This lady, according to the law of Moses, allow us to stone her because of her sins that she committed. But what is the Lord Jesus said? And this is the great act of justifying grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you? Yeah, cast the first stone to those of you who have not committed any sin. Cast the first stone. And of course, one by one left, because everyone felt, the accusers felt their own sin. And they left until no one, while the Lord Jesus Christ knelt down on the ground and tried to write something. And the Lord Jesus asked them, where are your accusers? No one left. Beloved lady, I'll do the same. Your sins have been forgiven. But sin no more. That's what he said. And that is the very meaning of justification by grace. We are not just justified by Christ because he died for our sin. He counted us righteous. And that righteousness has a responsibility with it. And that is to continue to move on regardless of our inability to be slow or to live a righteous life. We must continue to confess our sin. And by the grace and help of the Holy Spirit, we can stand up upright to walk righteously in the eyes of God and being made useful in His kingdom. We must never limit justification to forgiveness, for it is much more than that. Nor must we confuse between the two, for they are connected with each other. Forgiveness is negative in its approach. Justification is positive. Let me make that clear and distinctive. Forgiveness deals with a sin that has been committed. Justification deals with the new position and relationship of the restored believer. So you are not only made righteous, that means you are clean in the sight of God because of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, but its righteousness is not only applied, but credited to your account. So we can feel good about that. But not presumptuous, If a lot of people just come to church and feel good because they are in the church, particularly the people I met in the hospital, one family. He said, "I can talk to the Holy Spirit," he said. "And the Holy Spirit always reminds me, you know, of something to do, which is right." But he can never cite a reference of what he's saying from the Bible. It's all up there. It's all up made up. And I asked him, "What church do you go to?" You know Santo Niño? He asked me, "What's Santo Niño?" They call that small wooden image of Christ in the Philippines as Santo Niño. You know that, don't you? He said, "I can always carry with me Santo Niño, the wooden thing, the wooden cross." But these are people who are depending upon their good works. But as a restored believer in Christ, we have that righteousness. We don't have to wear that cross. But the cross reminds us of the work of Christ that made us righteous before Him. So, to further expound this justification by faith, a father can forgive his sinning child, but he cannot justify or reinstate the child as though no sin has been committed. Nor can the child justify himself by any obedience in the future. For the act itself of the child against the father or the mother or any member of the family will always remain in the child's history or in the minds of the parents, perhaps, or with his brothers and sisters. But God's justification in Christ Jesus covers both past and future. And this is our glory. This is what we can boast. Even though we have been bogged down by past sins, there's still a way back to God.
Amen.
And that is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But come back quickly, because our life on earth does not select a time in which the Lord will take us. So we must be ready all the time when death comes or sickness comes and death will settle down. So we must always be ready, not only for a righteous living, but when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So by God's justification in Christ, He covers everything, the past and future. Not only pardon us, but reinstate us in a right relationship and position with Christ. Another one is that present experience as your hope is not only in relation to the past, but there is also peace. Not only justification, there is also peace. We have peace with God. Peace in this passage means the cessation of hostility. When both sides at war, and that means whether it be a nation, Israel and Iraq, or Iran, or Syria, when they talk peace with each other, or ceasefire, both sides will stop gunning down each other or some soldiers. There is a cessation of hostility or act of violence or act of crime. Not mere tranquility of mind or doing temporary cessation is. It is not that we have to cease to be hostile to God, but that God assists or stop in His righteous hostility or anger against us as sinners. God is the enemy of man, the sinner. But when we are justified through faith, we have peace.
Amen.
If you don't have peace, is it because God has left us? No. The Holy Spirit is sad in our hearts. So we must confess our sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. It's not a matter whether we don't have or peace or what. It is because perhaps there is something that hinders us to have that peace and experience that peace. It is perhaps the sin that continues to beset us, easily beset us, or temptation that easily beset us. The antidote for that is 1 John 1:9. Whoever we are, if we have sinned, we have to confess right away. to be restored back to have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit. Peace of conscience in the mercy of God. This peace is peace of conscience in the mercy of God. Peace of heart in the love of God. The peace of mind as well in the truth of God. The truth of God's word to us. The peace of our soul in the presence of God. These are all our privileges. And in relation to the present, about justification to us, there is an access. Access into this grace, which is in verse 2. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the glory of God. You know why? Grace should not only be sought for God's grace to be poured in our hearts every moment of our lives, but we are already standing in the grace. Do you realize that? We are already standing in the grace of God. We pray for God's grace, for God to be gracious to us, but because we pray to that effect, because we are already standing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And because we stand, we have the right to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so this access into this grace comes to mind the thought which includes the possibility of entrance, which is the word access, and also the privilege of introduction as in a situation, at a presentation in court, wherein both parties, both sides are being presented what is about their case. Yeah? So that there is access to the justice on both sides. But of those who have been acquitted, of course, there is reason for rejoicing. And that's what we are as Christians. There's rejoicing, even though our old past accuses us, or the devil accuses us. The Lord Jesus Christ's wounds say, because our Lord Jesus Christ is our is praying for us, is our defender before the throne of God's grace. Whenever the devil or Satan reminds us of the past sins, he's saying to the devil, look, the wound of my son absorbed those sins. The blood from that wound absorbs those sins. Aren't you glad we have this assurance? And not only in relation to the present, there is success, there is grace. This grace wherein we stand. I already mentioned that in advance when passing, but constant needs and continual supply are here suggested. In verse 2, grace is the home of the soul. Grace is the home of the soul because we are always standing in it. And we must rejoice because we stand in this grace. Because we have that hope of glory wherein we stand. And then, about the afflictions which cannot destroy our hope in verse 3 to 5. Let's look at this. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. You see? Our afflictions cannot destroy our hope. The apostle, in writing this, not only boast in hope in the future glory, which is in verse 2 that I just quoted, he is able to boast in tribulation also. He is able to rejoice in his suffering, in his trials. 5 times in the epistle, the Saint Paul used the striking phrase, not only so, but also. You see that in verse 2? Or in verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. In chapter 5 of verse 3 of this present chapter, And verse 11 as well, in chapter 8, verse 23, chapter 9, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 8, 19. Apostle Paul is so much aware that he knows that tribulation works out steadfast endurance. So when we experience tribulations, we must not complain, because what God has allowed in our lives, Ephesians chapter, Romans 8:28, makes that clear to us. And we memorize these scriptures. Remember, every time we say, all things work together for good. No, we must add the first two words. For we know, you see? It's not just all things work together for good. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God according to His purpose. This chain of present experience, that our hope is not destroyed because of our afflictions, is very, very striking to observe. And just in verse 2 culminates in hope. As you can see, in verse 2, you read it, we have also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope. And then in verse 5, you can see that same statement. Now hope does not disappoint. So they are linked to each other, verse 1, verse 2 and 3. So the thought all through in this chapter is the certainty that righteousness by faith must and last to the end. It's not just when we confess our sin that we want the grace of God to be gracious, to be applied to us, that God will be gracious to us in forgiving our sins. But it will continue and last forever. The love of God in these verses is, of course, the love of God to us. It is His love in our hearts that assures us the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why that famous prayer, may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. That speaks about this assurance that the love of Christ in our hearts assure us of this abundant grace that's available to us in which we stand. God's love to the undeserving is the, we are undeserving, is the marvelous concept of the apostle that He enlightened us now in this chapter. There is nothing in us or nothing good in us to make us deserve that love. It is all by grace through faith. So in this passage, verses 1 to 11, the Holy Spirit is mentioned for the first time in the epistle. The subject matter will only be touched upon and left for further treatment in chapter 8. So if you're going to read from chapter 5 to 8, you will see the mention of the Holy Spirit as well. And now, on the third step of justification by faith in its process, that God allow us to embrace and to rejoice in justification by faith, God's love, as shown in the gift of His Son, confirms our hope. That is in verses 6 to 10. And of course, we can read it for now. For we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, but yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love, own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So in this section, we have the foundation or the principle by which the Apostle Paul proves that God's love assures us and making justification permanent in our experience. So it's not just the first occurrence from the day one of our salvation. It always stays with us. and forever. The stream of verse 5, or the amplification of verse 5, is traced to its source in this verse, in this verse 6 to 10. And this love is twofold, as seen in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ for the ungodly, and as seen in the life of Christ for those whom he has saved through his death. So if love can die, if the love of God, or love of our Lord Jesus Christ can die for us when we were in repulsive state of impotence or unbelief, much more now that we are reconciled, will it cherish and keep us? If the death of Christ was the means of our reconciliation, the life of Christ will be means of our preservation. Much more being reconciled, we shall be kept safe in his love. There is thus a triple antithesis, which are the enemies and became reconciled. We are enemies, but we are reconciled. That's the first antithesis. And then being reconciled, we are saved by faith. And because we are about to be pronounced dead in sin, but now we have life in Christ. So death and sin are distinctive. And lastly, God himself crowned our hope in verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is the deepest secret of all that the apostle has presented it before us. Not only glory in the future and present, but rejoice through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation, or having made peace with God. The word rendered rejoice in this verse is the same as that found in verse 2 and 3, and means to boast. I already said that a while ago. Not only do we boast in hope of future glory and in present tribulation in verse 3, but we boast in God himself through Jesus Christ, by whom we receive the atonement, or the perfect sacrifice, and the power and the effect of which we discuss in the remaining verse of this chapter. If we're going to read through from verse 12 up to the end of the chapter, we can be illuminated further on. So the following are suggestions for our meditation. It is impossible to mistake the tone of the apostle in these verses, or the message of rejoicing, because we are justified. Now, let's think about this as an application. Justification is an immediate gift. It comes through faith the moment a man believes, or any sinner believes. It is received, not accomplished. It is obtained, not attained. It is obtained, not attained. We cannot earn it. So it's an immediate gift. Praise God for that. Justification is a perfect gift as well. There are no degrees in justification. Justified from all things, according to Acts 13, 38 to 39, from the moment of conversion to the end of our earthly life, justification is absolutely the same. There are stages of grace, but not in justification. Even the feeble or the weak believer is accepted with God, and the realization of his acceptance may be deeper, but not the reality of it. We have always the reality of it. As someone has put it, to make this more brighter, a little faith will bring a soul to heaven. In other words, we are saved by grace through faith, isn't it? But strong faith, others have more strong faith than others, perhaps. But strong faith will bring heaven into the soul. In other words, a man who perseveres in his faith will always rejoice. And that is like heaven in our soul. Understand that? So the word of God, if we're going to meditate upon it continually, never changes. It is always unchangeable. It always blesses us and reveals God's plan of joy and rejoicing in Christ. And then, of course, justification is a divine gift. It is also a gift to be enjoyed. We depend not upon our faith, but God, upon God's faithfulness, upon all our needs. Remember, our faith may fail, but its truth will never fail. God's act and fact of salvation is to be a fact and factor and force in our daily life. Sum up in three words: justification by faith. Now, how do we apply this to our lives? Yesterday, I met a man. Not the same man I've been mentioning, but a man who just received a kidney. I saw him twice Thursday, and I saw him twice yesterday. And I shall always see him on the spot. Now, there must be something that the Lord causes me to do. If I see this man twice Thursday, I saw him twice yesterday, there must be something that I need to share. So I asked him, I saw you twice Thursday, you are here smoking, and you are here today, sitting on the same spot smoking. Now, this is the condition of a man who has been privileged to have a new kidney, a new lease of life. And yet, he does not offer his body and therefore to allow that kidney to stay longer and be used by God, to glorify God in his life. I said, why are you still smoking if you have a new kidney? Because it's difficult to refuse cigarettes, he said. Well, that pictures a lot of Christians who are justified by faith. We have new life in Christ, but it's difficult to get away from the worldly temptation and sin that the devil uses to slow us down in rejoicing into this grace in which we stand. Let's confess to the Lord what really make us not to experience that rejoicing today and the joy, which is the key to all this chapter, to this chapter. Because God expects us to rejoice. And when we rejoice, the face and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ exudes. It appears. That's our witness. That's not our work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of justifying by grace through faith. Let's rejoice. It's a privilege, dearly beloved. Let's now pray and pause. As a result of our challenge before God this morning, can I ask Brother Aluliami to close us in our prayer?
Father, we thank you for your word.